John Batts with my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The story so far in Brazil, the very powerful Lula da Silva, three times elected president, has vouchsafed a man named Moraes, who is on the Supreme Court and who has political opinions that he acts upon using the power of the court. We have seen how he has led the perusal of the former Bolsonaro government and found it wanting. Following that, there's been persecution, there have been arrests, there have been threats of arrests, not only Bolsonaro, but all of his cabinet, any of his friends we can imagine. That was then. This is now. Moraes, empowered by the state, has declared that Musk's Starlink, as well as X, are not acceptable. There are different versions of the not acceptable. And what is striking about this, we left the story of artificial intelligence, digital news in Venezuela, in a state that is under extreme duress because of the threat of extralegal conduct by the regime. We now move to Brazil, where Lula da Silva is not in question. He's a member of the BRICS. He's the prominent leader of many parts of the world, not just Americas. He's three times elected. He's grandfatherly. But Moraes, who is does a good job of being a villain, has now taken on Musk. Why? Professor, was X threatening? Was Starlink threatening Moraes in some fashion that we can discern? Why take on the richest man in the universe? It feels like picking a fight with somebody who has what the old proverb was, barrels of ink.
Well, certainly the Supreme Court head in Brazil, Lula-aligned Alexandre de Moraes, is really an instrument in, I think, this broader fight. But to me, it is a symbolic of a fight that we're seeing globally between the issues of state sovereignty and the global access or interconnectivity that we saw with globalism. We have to recall it wasn't that long ago when we celebrated the end of the Cold War and the fall of the Iron Curtain, and with globalized commerce and information connectivity, there was a presumption that you could have international legal settlements and contractual security and international flows of people. And with that, with new information technology, first the internet and social media, this idea of globalized, rapid, almost instantaneous flows of information. The interesting dimension of that, however, is that you see the reassertion of state authority, for example, in states like China. Well, that seemed to make sense. Well, we know that China is a communist authoritarian state, and so no great surprise that China would try to exert the great firewall to suppress its people getting information flows that could be subversive to the rule of the Communist Party. Other holdouts, authoritarians, again, thinking of the previous regime in Iraq or troglodytes such as the regime in Afghanistan, that was understandable. But when you begin to look at problematic democracies, regimes such as Brazil, what you see here is again, the way in which the state, for a variety of different reasons, wants to try to control information in the name of trying to protect its citizens against hate speech or false information that can be destabilizing to its electoral system and thus its government. But to what degree does the state have the right, and to what degree does the state have the power? So in a specific case of Brazil, you see the limitations and how that fight becomes complicated, because originally Brazil didn't like the fact that there were tweets going out on Elon Musk's platform X that seemed to question the electronic voting system in Brazil. Communication organization Anatel tried to oblige Musk and X to take those down. Musk said that he was not going to do this. Something not unlike what we see the fights in the United States with President Trump and Truth Social and X in the U.S. But it then in Brazil became a legal battle because you had the Brazilian government trying to reach out to pressure X with the leverage that it had, because X had a legally required a representative office in Brazil. So they try to put pressure on the X administrative office and try to impose fines on X to force it to comply. Elon Musk, if you don't have any legal presence, then you don't have any exposure. So he actually pulled the offices of X last month out of Brazil. The interesting thing that occurred then is that a completely different company, Starlink, which has, in which Elon Musk is only a minority shareholder. A decision was made by the court. Okay, we want to fine X, but X is not here anymore. So we're going to seize or freeze the assets of this other company, which has very little to actually do with X, other than the fact that it is one of the companies that, in a minor way, can carry, X on, the digital transmissions that it does. And so the issue there was that, the company, Starlink, which has about 250,000 customers in Brazil, initially it said it was not going to comply with the order to take X off. It was going to actually reach out, in global, courts, to try to seize Brazilian state assets, to compensate for the unfair taking of Brazilian assets, its own assets in Brazil, by courts, which it sees as it is rigged. Making the claim that the whole process of the Lula-dominated court and the Supreme Court, with the decision of Alexandre de Moraes, who's seen as a political agent of Lula, that this was improper. And so, the prospect of then a fight, you could seize Brazilian assets, seize the presidential plane of Lula in some other country, just like the U.S. recently seized the Venezuelan presidential plane of Nicolas Maduro in the Dominican Republic. So this idea that you could have this international fight playing out in the legal system as part of the reaction to a state trying to use the entities that were vulnerable within state jurisdiction to control international agents. And so it's a fight in Brazil between Musk, in which it appears that now Starlink has caved, but it shows a broader fight between
30 seconds, Professor, 30 seconds.
Between global information flows and global legal jurisdictions and global financial flows, and states that don't want to be vulnerable to those global flows, whether it's vulnerable through extradition treaties or vulnerable through information coming into their territory or other matters. And it's a fight, I think, that we're going to continue to see playing out in multiple jurisdictions, not only in Latin America, but far more broadly.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,